Thank you, Kirk. This last, actually, before I start, this is the first time I guess I've been up to the pulpit since we lost our father-in-law. So I wanted to take this chance to thank each and every one of you for your prayers and your love. It really, really helped. Still an adjustment period for us all, but we're moving forward, and it really does help when you know that he knew the Lord, and so we didn't actually have to say goodbye. We had to say until we see you again. So, all right, the start of our message, I'm going to read from Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Do you ever find yourself being embarrassed for having faith? Do you ever feel small when the unsaved mock you? For believing in fairy tales about talking snakes and virgins giving birth. I must admit, I definitely spend way too much time watching YouTube videos, more than I should. Most of them are just people wiping out in an embarrassing fashion or animals behaving oddly. But there's times I guess I just need to feel annoyed. So I listen to so-called experts give their opinions on why Christianity is an absolute hoax. And some even go to the point of saying it's a dangerous, oppressive religion that needs to be removed. I find it funny, most of these people are atheists that believe in evolution rather than God. I don't believe in God, I believe in science. It's become a big catchphrase of late. Do they really believe in science? Neil deGrasse Tyson is probably one of the biggest blowhards leading the charge for evolution today. He not only implies that if you believe Bible stories describing the end times, that you know nothing of the universe, but he says evolution is an undeniable fact. His quote was, "Some claim that evolution is just a theory, as if it were merely an opinion. But evolution, like the theory of gravity, is a scientific fact. Evolution really happened. Accepting our kinship with all life on Earth is not only solid science, in my view, it's also a soaring spiritual experience." Richard Dawkins has said, "It's absolutely safe to say that if you meet somebody that claims not to believe in evolution, that person is either ignorant, stupid, or insane." And this one's my favorite, because if this guy's leading the charge for evolution, we should have Pee Wee Herman leading the charge for creation. And you might say, well, Pee Wee Herman's not a Christian. Well, this guy's not a scientist either. Bill Nye, the alleged science guy, who actually doesn't have any science background, he's a mechanical engineer and TV show host for children, says, "Teaching creationism in science class as an alternative to evolution is inappropriate." Let's look at Psalm 14, verses 1 to 4. "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside, they are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Of all the workers of iniquity, no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord." So these men that I quoted earlier, does anybody know what any of these men have contributed to society or to science other than books and TV shows spewing their religious beliefs? any breakthroughs that they've made in the fields of science? No, I didn't think so. So here's some interesting quotes from actual scientists. Let's see if you know who they are. Mathematics is the language in which God has written the universe. Does anybody know who said that? Galileo. Okay. Anybody know what he's contributed to science? He's one of the most famous astronomers, right? He was the one that was considered by the Catholic Church to be apostate because he was the one that actually confirmed that the Earth rotates around the sun, not the other way around. Science brings men nearer to God. No one know who was said by? That was Louis Pasteur. Pasteurization, right? Okay. It's evident that an acquaintance with natural laws means no less than an acquaintance with the mind of God therein expressed. Know who said that one? James Prescott Joule. Yeah. Joule is a measurement of energy, right? Named after him. This one's a great one. We account the scriptures of God to be the most sublime philosophy. I find more sure marks of authenticity in the Bible than in any profane history whatsoever. Do you know who said that? You can tell this is an older quote because of the way it was so eloquently said. That was Sir Isaac Newton. Theory of gravity, amongst other things. All right, and this one's my favorite because I actually have studied this guy a little bit and I really admire him. The gift of mental power comes from God, divine being, and if we concentrate our minds on that truth, we become in tune with this great power. My mother had taught me to seek all truth in the Bible. Does anyone know who that is? He invented the AC current motor. The radio, even though the idea was originally falsely attributed to Marconi, it was later credited to him. The X-ray, wireless controlled technology, as well as designing the first hydroelectric plant in Niagara Falls. The man was Nikola Tesla, and he is considered by many to be one of the most brilliant scientists in the last 100 years. Just think what he would have been able to do for mankind. If only he didn't have this idea of God holding him back, he might have aspired to be as great as Bill Nye the Science Guy. James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A Christian should embrace true science. And what really bothers me is that when I watch some of these debates about creation versus evolution, many times, but not always, they get the most inexperienced hack to represent the Christian point of view. They'll dance around things like carbon dating or quotes from Darwin without firing back from Scripture. They backpedal and try and explain how we don't mean a literal seven days for creation, or it was a story for the simple-minded early men of that time period because other explanations might have been over their head. Or the one that really gets me, the ones who say they believe in the Bible and evolution, as if the two ideas could possibly coexist. If that's the stance they take, they're fake, not saved. You can't believe in a false religion, and make no mistake, evolution is a religion, not science, and the God of the Bible. True science doesn't contradict our faith, and our faith doesn't contradict true science. What is true science? From a young age in grade school, we are taught scientific method in school. Do you remember it? Start with a question. do some research, develop a hypothesis, conduct a series of experiments to confirm or disprove the hypothesis, and then draw a conclusion. Evolution is stuck on the hypothesis stage. There has not been any experiments to this point, and I would argue there never will be, that can successfully recreate the Big Bang or the primordial ooze from which all life allegedly sprang. If you can't do that, you can't say that it unequivocally happened. It's not a fact, but still just the theory of evolution. But the evolutionist cannot accept this because it puts them on the same plane as the Christian, operating on the faith they have in their beliefs. Explosions happening without the presence of combustible materials placed there beforehand, and magic soup that creates fish that become frogs, then monkeys, then people, sounds even more ridiculous than what they mock the Christian for believing. But they say it's backed by scientific evidence and it doesn't actually exist. And they've said it so loud and so often that society eventually falls in line. Romans chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for that thou judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. Faith is a part of life. Every day we operate on faith at some level. When we go out, we have faith that our selected method of transportation will work, the chair we choose to sit on will hold us up, and that the house we left in the morning will still be standing when we return to it later that day. The evolutionist, though, likes to portray us as having a stupid faith that involves fairy tales and things that a rational mind would never believe. Yet look at what they believe. If you were to ask a Christian and an evolutionist if they were present at the beginning of the world to verify their version of the Earth's origin, the Christian should admit they have faith in the biblical account of the creation story and they've chosen to accept that. The evolutionist will say no, but, and then begin to spew out different stories about how we know certain breeds of dogs have changed over the years into new breeds of dogs, or certain fish have adapted to their new environment to be a slightly different fish. So that proves they crawled out of primordial ooze after the big explosion billions of years ago. Sounds to me like they cling to their faith the same way the believer should cling to theirs. But what is faith? Faith is found in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark, to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they say such things, declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both sons of Joseph, and worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than riches, than the treasure of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, and David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight in the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, the reason I read the whole chapter, covers a lot of ground, it covers a lot of people. We all know who these people were. And a lot of the world knows the stories of these people. So even in the eyes of the unbeliever, faith is recognized. Unbelievers know the story of Noah. They know who Abraham is. They know a lot of these Bible stories. How long ago did this happen? Do you think in 2,000 years, 3,000 years from now, if God doesn't see fit to return yet, the names of Richard Dawkins, Neil deGrasse Tyson, and Bill Nye will still be ringing out in history for the rest of the world to remember? Their faith will be rewarded the way it deserves to be rewarded. They will fade into nothingness, just as they believe they will. The argument against evolution is simple. No experiments that result in positive proof equals unproven theory. Therefore, to believe it requires an act of faith. Case closed. Christian has a faith on this earth's origin that the world hates. Don't fear that. Our place is not here. If we're not being mocked for our beliefs, we're not standing up. A true Christian will not buckle or conform for fear of upsetting the world. Upsetting the Lord would be a far greater concern to us. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Those last three words are very important too for the believer, because I think many times we tend to inappropriately get in someone's face and irritate them with our own personality. And that's not doing it for the Lord's sake. That's just being a jerk, and you shouldn't do that. My final passage, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So, I guess the entire gist of my message today was have faith, hold to it, and don't be ashamed of it. Matt, could you close the service in prayer, please?
Lord, thank you for this message reminding us of our faith and why we believe what we do believe. Pray, Lord, that you give us strength, and Lord, your word says that we're not to be given a spirit of fear, but of power and of sound mind. And Lord, help us to be strong in our faith and know it, that what matters is what you think of us, not what the world thinks. And that we should be more afraid of disappointing you than disappointing the world. Give us wisdom, Lord, on when to say, what we should say, and what we should say, Lord. And your word says that. Just take no thought of what we should say, but that the Holy Spirit will give us those words when they're needed. Pray that you'd bless this assembly. You'd help us to continue to be faithful to your word, despite our small numbers and our unpopularity with what we believe and the stance that we take. Help us to be faithful ambassadors for you. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.